She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 188, Following Your Fears and Feeling All the Feels with Jen Sincero, author and New York Times bestseller of You Are a Badass.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey friends, welcome back for another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. And if you are joining us for the first time or you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so excited that you are here. And if you guys have been following along since the beginning days of the podcast, thank you guys for continually hanging out with me as the podcast grows and as She Did It Her Way grows into something more than a podcast, which you guys know with the summit coming up in October. So just super excited and grateful for everything that's going on. And today when I did this interview, I had such a fangirl moment because interviewing Jen Sincero of You Are a Badass, the book, which some of you guys probably know that I'm obsessed with and I love, and I ate it up in almost like a week and a half because it was so amazing. And I was able to get connected with her, and it was such an honor to sit down and interview her about her journey and learn just more about her story. So if you guys don't know her story, it is quite incredible. And the book, You Are a Badass, talks about having the right mindset, learning to become savvy about making money and live up to your potential. Also in the podcast too, we talk about how to get over negative connotations revolving around money, find out where your fear of money lies and stems from, and always remember to love yourself, live outside your comfort zone, and do things that scare you, along with begin to realize your excuses aren't true. And this book has been absolutely integral into my development in terms of level of consciousness and understanding how to overcome hurdles and break through to that next level. So I'm super excited for you guys to listen to the interview with Jen Sincero. All right, She Did It Her Way listeners, I'm super stoked and ecstatic for today's guest because it is not very often that you get to pick a book off of a shelf and then read it and then actually get to sit down with the author of that book. So I am welcoming the author of You Are a Badass, Jen Sincero, to the show. Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jen, tell us a little bit about, what is it that you do? Share with us a little bit about your book for the listeners who haven't heard or even read You Are a Badass, which they know they should have heard of it because I've been talking about it nonstop and how it's an amazing resource and tool. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay. So I am a life coach and I've been one for a little over 10 years. And I wrote a book called You Are a Badass. And it did real good. And then I wrote another book called You Are a Badass at Making Money that just came out a couple months ago. And generally I'm basically somebody who was living a pretty good life, traveling, and I was a musician and a writer and blah, blah, blah. But in my 40s, I found myself living in a converted garage and just broke my whole life. I never made any money. And I just couldn't figure out what my freaking problem was. Like, I could get bands together and I could go to cool places and I had great friends, but the money thing was just like the Loch Ness Monster. I just could not find it. I could not find out what my problem was. So I, even though I was extremely snarky and holier than thou, I had to admit that I needed some help because I decided that I could figure out the money thing on my own my whole life. And, looking at my garage wall, I was like, perhaps that is not true. So I started down self-help road and read every self-help book under the sun, went to coaching seminars, hired life coaches, started my own online business. And very long story short, through that process, decided that, I would take what I learned from going from very seriously broke for my very, very experienced broke person, you know, well into my 40s, to somebody who actually started making really good money and teach about it and talk about it in these books that I wrote.
Mm-hmm. What would you say then, like during that journey, especially a few things like being in your 40s, and I don't know if maybe if you've experienced this, but I even feel as I've gotten older from just the mid 20s to now late 20s, that there's a, some sort of resistance as in like, oh, okay, life, not that life is over, but you get older and an adult, things start creeping in. So when did you meet any resistance when you were in your 40s, and you're like, what was your wake up call for you too?
You know, it's funny. I didn't really have a wake up call. And I think a lot of people, some people certainly do, where, you know, you almost drop dead, or you get dumped for being a big fat loser, or, you know, whatever. But I think for the most part, most of us just, you know, I just got so freaking sick of hearing myself talk about being broke, and you know, the hilarious, you know, not funny at all irony of being like, I don't want to have my life revolve around money. I'm creative. I want to revolve it around, you know, the people I love and making music and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Meanwhile, every single solitary decision I made was based on how much it cost, because I didn't have any freaking money. And now that I have money, I don't really think about it that much. So I just got really sick of it, and not just sick of struggling and scraping by and constantly focusing on money and freaking out about money. But more importantly, I got really sick of feeling like, really, Jen, this is the best you can do? Like, I knew in my soul that I could do better. And the fact that I wasn't, and that I'd spent so long not doing better, it just got too excruciating, and I couldn't do it anymore. And that's when I made the decision to get some freaking help, to do whatever it took to learn about money, to start making money, to get over my issues around money, and really go for it in a way that I'd never gone for it before.
Mm-hmm. I know, I mean, after reading the You Are a Badass book and a lot of the subconscious and writing and being specific, and I took a ton away from the book as well, like, what would you say was one of the biggest aha moments as you were on that journey that really stood out for you in terms of your old thought process and then a new thought process about how you thought about something, especially when it comes to money?
Mm. You know, I think it, one of the biggest ones, and I do write about this in the book, was when I hired my first life coach. It was, you know, I was a freelance writer, and I was scraping by and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really even know what life coaching was at the time. It was before it was still very snake oil salesy, but I was, you know, I was reading self-help books, and I was going to any seminar that had the word money in it or wealth in it. I was like, okay, I'm going to get really good at this money thing.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're like, it's osmosis. If I just hang out with it, maybe it'll like happen.
Yeah. And just like, I clearly know a whole lot of nothing, so I got to edumacate myself. And at one of these things, I met this woman who specialized in helping women with their finances. And she had her electricity turned off because she was so broke. And you know, and it was making high six figures helping women. But basically, her fee was about a quarter of my annual income at the time. And you know, in the old days, I would have been like, next, you know, I can't afford that, blah, blah, blah. And so instead of doing that, I took out another credit card, even though I was in credit card debt, and I hired her. So for me, that was a total game changer. I mean, of course, I called her up moments later and was like, please, please, God, I made a terrible mistake. Give me my money back. and to her great credit, she talked me off the ledge. But that was definitely, that's what a decision will do for you. You know, in the old days, I could have talked myself out of it in a split second. Like, that's irresponsible. You don't have the money. You're in debt. You can't for these 8 million reasons. But when you make the decision, you go from here's why not to how am I going to do this? And you start looking to solutions as opposed to excuses.
Mm, I like that. I know one of my coaches always says that, when you believe in like the opportunity, or when you believe and have the opportunity, like things just start popping up when you open that door and you say that you're going to do something and find the solution. I mean, when you did that, like I know you said that there's like 8 million reasons why you could say no, but I got to imagine that would be almost a suffocating type of experience to then, if you're already like in debt, and then to potentially maybe put yourself even in more debt to find a way, quote unquote, out, or a different way of thinking. Like, what did it happen immediately that you started learning the transition, or like, what was that process like then? Okay. After you decided, yes, I'm doing it. This coach, this lady talked you off the ledge, and then you went into the program. Like, did you just decide that you're like, okay, this has to work and this is going to work? And then that was the difference between what it was like before.
Yeah. I did every single thing she told me to do. I was like sitting in the front of the class with my hand raised, like, I was doing it. I didn't care how stupid I looked. I didn't care how hard it was. I didn't care if I had to spend even more money to hire people to help me do it. Like, I was in. I was terrified. And, you know, and what she ended up doing was helping me put together an online business where I was coaching other writers. And for me at the time, I knew nothing about online marketing. I thought it was like the cheesiest thing on earth. And, you know, keep in mind, I was like a punk rocker and I was really cool and I was really snarky. So I had to overcome a lot of my need to be cool and my identity as whatever the hell I was identifying as. So, because I was about the money. If it didn't make me money, I wasn't talking about it. And, you know, hello, even that statement right there, so much judgment around it. You're going to focus on making money? What kind of person are you? So it took a lot of doing things completely differently and facing my own judgments and my own fears around pretty much everything I had going on in my life.
What, I mean, like, can you give us an example of one of the things that really stood out for you from a growth perspective during that time frame that maybe some of our listeners are going through or could relate to, and like, this is something that they could change to help them move past that limiting belief around money?
Well, around money, you know, first of all, understand there's so much judgment around money that we are so unaware of, you know, because in our conscious minds, we're all like, hell yeah, I love making money, but, you know, bring it on. It's awesome. But in our more deep down selves, we judge people who are rich. We immediately focus on all the horrible things and things that people do and ways that people make money, you know. We automatically assume you have to do stuff you hate to make money. You got to work really hard to make money. Money is the root of all evil. There's all this very, sometimes not so sneaky stuff and sneaky thoughts that we've got going on, that are stopping us from making money. So in both of my books, in both You Are a Badass and You Are a Badass at Making Money, I actually repeat one exercise in both of them, and it is to write a letter to money as if it's a person. So
I did that. You know,
did you? How did it go?
Oh, girl, yes. I have been on this like personal journey, not only just with like financial abundance, if you will, but just really feeling as if my next journey in my life is going to the next upper limit or conscious, and really diving into the subconscious and exploring and seeing like, okay, what's there. And it was amazing, because what was crazy about it is after I wrote that and really started looking at money as like an entity and getting specific about it, it like all these other things started presenting themselves, and it was just fascinating. It just goes back to like you said in your book, you know, bring it to the intuition and listen to what's coming out, and just writing that letter. And it's almost like it's, you know, it's a person and saying nice things about it versus judging it or, you know, talking negatively about it. It was crazy. So, I mean, I recommend everyone doing that as well.
Well, yeah. And the thing that it can really help with also is if you're struggling with money, you definitely have judgment around it. So, and you've got good things. Like, so for example, my letter to money was sort of like, you know, I love you. I wish I made more of you, but I don't trust that you're going to keep coming to me. And I feel dirty even admitting that I want you. And it allowed me to see how much push-pull I had going on with it at the time. And then what it allows you to do, you know, they say the key to awareness, you know, the key to freedom is awareness in the beginning. So you got to be aware of what your crap is. Not everybody has the same issues around it. So, you know, for me, I discovered that I felt like money wasn't available to me the way it was to other people. Like I would see people with mansions and yachts and private jets and literally feel like they were a different species. So I had this real deep core belief that Jen Sincero could not make money. So that was one thing that became very clear to me. I discovered also that, and this was actually not through writing a letter. This was through doing a lot of big work on and pushing myself constantly to spend money, to work with coaches, to double my rates, to really face all my money stuff, that if I got rich, it would be like stabbing my father in the heart, because he used to show his affection by giving me a 20 here and there, or, you know, at the end of every phone call being like, are you doing okay? Can I send you any money? You know, and he'd send me a check for $100 or whatever. And I realized that I would be taking away something that made him feel really good.
Oh.
And I wasn't available to do that. And honestly, you know, and I've been a coach for a long time, and I've coached a lot of people through this, and there are so many people who don't realize it, but they don't want to let themselves outshine their parents. And you know, and it's so interesting now that I've had this awareness. That was honestly one of the biggest ones.
What helped you like uncover that piece of it?
What helped me uncover that one was when I wanted to work with this coach who cost $85,000. This is down the road. I'd started my own business. I was doing pretty well, but I really wanted to be a big, big player. And I met this person who I really respected and I really wanted to work with, and they charged $85,000. And for me, that was like, come on, that's like money you spend on a house. That's talk about irresponsible and blah, blah, blah. And all my stuff came up around that amount. But because I had made the decision, instead of going down why not road, I was like, all right, where am I going to get 85,000 bucks? And there was something in that little shift of a mindset. I mean, honestly, that's all it takes sometimes was me entertaining the possibility of being somebody who pays a life coach $85,000, of occupying that space. My whole body, just everything freaked out. It was like, it was like, I can fly to the moon by my own means, by flapping my own arms. Like it was so alien to who I saw myself as and everything that I stood for and my own whatever, that it brought up my deepest fear. Like it was actually a visual. I had a visual of my dad. He's an Italian immigrant, and he always wears the same yellow V-neck sweater. And so it's very easy to come up with an visual, but you know, just like with his hands in his pockets, staring at his feet, so sad that I was so rich and he couldn't love me anymore. And he wasn't needed. I wasn't his little girl. Like all it broke my heart. And I was like, wow, I really believe that. And so it has been so interesting having had this awareness and moving past it and letting myself get rich. And, you know, I can be on still to this day, I can be on the phone with my dad and be like, hey dad, I just made $20 million. And he'll be at the end of the call. He'll be like, do you need any help? Can I send you anything? I was like, Aww. Yeah, can you send me $100? And I let him send me $100. He's happy. I'm happy. But I get it, how real that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to like, I don't want to say simple as that, but I mean, even, you know,
all
it's
simple.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like this thing, it's that awareness piece that, you know, you can't see what you can't see, or the Johari's window of like the blind spot and not understanding that, like what is there to help uncover and to be able to bring those things to light. When you wrote, you are a badass, what was the biggest personal hurdle for you that came up when you were writing it? If any personal hurdles?
Oh my God. Writing a book is one gigantic personal hurdle.
I know. I love how you were saying that you went somewhere, you like manifested this house that you went to go finish the book, which is just, I think about certain things, I'm like, I'm going to manifest this just like Jen did.
Oh gosh. I mean, I think anytime we do anything that we feel called to do, it brings up everything, because you're owning the right. You know, do I have the right to say how you should be a badass? Do I even know what the hell a badass is? Am I a badass? Can I write? Am I, you know, everything. it all comes up. And it's just so interesting, I think. And it continues. I don't think it's ever over. But, you know, there are times when I'd be writing, I'd be like, you know, I really could be perhaps the most important American writer. I'm so good. This is such a brilliant sentence. And then within the next 15 seconds, a gigantic steaming pile of poop. Like, you know, like you go back and forth. You're all over the place. And I really think that we all experience that, and we're all struggling, and we're all doing our best. And the most important thing is to just get in the game and go, and not wait until everything's perfect, and not wait until you're 100% ready, and not wait until you're not going to screw it up or look like a moron. Just do it. Who cares? But I think, and then by doing it, you learn so much about yourself, and you experience all the, you know, the aggrandization. I don't know how to say that word. Anyway, and self-doubt and worry and all that stuff. It all comes up. That was a rather long-winded answer, but I think that I don't think anybody doesn't experience all sorts. The whole, you know, it was funny when I went on my book tour, my editor was like, get ready to feel all the feels. And I think that was such a great way to, I mean, I felt everything, exhausted, exuberant, horrible, excited, you know, I think it's all there. But that's what being alive is feeling all the feels.
Yeah. I mean, has it changed? I mean, I'm curious as to when people say, even just like I did on the podcast, like at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, I love your book. It's so amazing. This is fantastic. When you received that praise in the beginning after you wrote You Are a Badass, you know, did you get you, like, was it awkward at first, or were you just like, heck yeah, this is amazing? Or what was that experience like in receiving that type of abundance and praise?
I gotta be honest, it's still it's not weird. It's sort of like, it doesn't totally reach me. It's sort of the only way I can describe it is it, I hear it and I'm so freaking grateful for it, but I almost feel like it doesn't have that much to do with me. And I know I wrote a good book. I know I worked for it and earned it and blah, blah, blah. But I truly feel like that has more to do with the person saying it, because they have an experience with it that's theirs. And there are certainly plenty of people who could call me up and tell me what a piece of crap it is, you know? So it doesn't reach me that much. And I don't quite know how to describe it. If that makes sense. Like, I hear it and I'm psyched, but I really feel like it has more to do with the person saying it to me than it does with me.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great insight for that. And I sometimes even feel with the podcast too, when people will give praise and things, I'm like, oh, thanks. And then, but I guess mine maybe comes from an imposter syndrome more so than maybe not necessarily reaching, but that, like you said, this book is here, and it does reach people in all different capacities, and it meets them where they're at. I mean, I know I felt when I picked up this book, it came at the right time, the right place for me to read it. And so again, it's just, I love how at the end of every chapter, there's always something to do with loving yourself. Mm-hmm. And having the ultimate, I mean, what was the experience for you that made you realize, and then, you know, what was the purpose behind always putting love yourself in some capacity at the end of every chapter?
Because I don't think anybody really does. And I think it's so important. And I think that we do in certain capacities, but if we can really learn that one, I really believe if everybody truly loved themselves, everything would fall into place. There'd be no need for greed. There'd be no need for judgment. There'd be, you know, you'd forgive yourself. You'd forgive everybody else. It would be, it would be awesome.
What was one of the hardest things for you to love yourself for, or that showed up for you?
Oh man. I don't know. I mean, I've always heard that I'm really hard on myself from everybody who's known me my whole life. So I think a level of perfectionism and just loving myself, I think loving my flaws and my failures and my, yeah, and just not and being okay with things not being perfect, whatever the hell that means.
God, I love perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is one of those things that just pops its head up, and sometimes you don't even realize that it's that perfection wanting to make it perfect.
And there is no perfect, by the way. It's like there's time well spent trying to make something that doesn't exist.
Like, what? No, don't even waste time to do that. If you could only recommend, you know, one thing for my listeners to do, just like one thing that will result in a big ROI for those who are listening, what would you tell them to go do?
Okay, so we're talking about money or just in general?
In general, based on your experience alone.
Okay. Do something that scares the living crap out of you every day and that moves you in the direction of where you want to be. So if it's financial, who can you reach out to ask for a loan or to ask to hire, you know, reach out to clients that scare the crap out of you who are out of your league, or ask somebody out on a date who's out of your league, or, you know, book a trip that you are so excited to take, but that you're scared to book, you know, whatever it is, scare, because, and it's so cliche, but this whole comfort zone thing is so real. And it's the reason we talk about it all the time, is because you've gotten to where you are right now by doing the things you're familiar with and comfortable with doing. And if you really want to change your life, you had better be scared, because if you're not scared, you're doing something wrong, right? Like everything you desire is outside of your comfort zone, because if you desired it, you probably don't have it yet. So follow your fear. Like, think of something you desire to do, you know, desire to have, get very clear on the specifics, listen for an intuitive hit, look around for opportunities, and take the one that scares the crap out of you.
Well, and you wrote, I know in the, that was one of the quotes that stood out, that you said people who are successful are not only willing to get uncomfortable, but they know they have to make a habit of it if they want to stay successful. So they keep moving through each new challenge instead of stagnate and settling. So I'm curious too, from your experience, you know, what does that look like for you? And you've reached the point, like, has getting outside your comfort zone gotten more comfortable for you because you've done it so much and you can recognize the process of what happens when you are about to step out? Or, you know, does it change based on how big you're stepping out of your comfort zone?
That's such a great question. You know, I think you get used to it-ish. Like, you get used to the drill. So you're like, okay, here we go. I want to grow in this direction. Oh, look, there's something I totally freaking do not want to do. So you're not freaked out, but like, oh my God. And it's still scary. It's still super uncomfortable. I still totally don't want to do it, but I know it's going to get me where I want to go. And it's thrilling. Like I say, I don't want to do it, but we all know what it's like when you take that leap. It's just like, and it's exhilarating. It's really being alive. So I know that, and knowing that is definitely helpful. But there's a great phrase, new level, new devil.
Oh,
so, yeah. So there it is. It's like you recognize, and you're like, great, now I got to go do that. But so I'm familiar with the process, and it is still terrifying and uncomfortable.
Never goes away.
Yeah.
This is always good to get outside the comfort zone here and there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know. And I love how you even touch on, like, you know, it's cliche, but yet it still has such an impact. And even looking at some of the simple things that we can do, or even, you know, asking someone if we're single and asking, going up to a complete stranger and saying, you want to go on a date with me? Even though it's maybe doesn't even result in a date and you don't even know that person, it's still thrilling to be like, holy crap, look what I just did.
Yeah. Right. And you feel better having tried than like slinking out the door and not trying. That's like dead energy. Just like, I'm going to go home and get my pajamas and whatever. And having done it, totally different energies.
Mm-hmm. What would you say? I mean, from all the people that you've coached to, what's the biggest mistake you see people or your clients making when it comes to setting goals or living a more badass life, and what maybe stops them?
Believing their excuses are real. Mm. Being very, very like, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I can't think of the word, but We are so committed to our excuses and very like, how dare you suggest that this is not true? I have two children and I'm a single mother. I could not possibly start my own business. That kind of thing. And we all do it in our own ways. So that's something that I see a lot. And with myself, like I bust myself with stuff like that all the time. So it's that commitment to our excuses as opposed to our commitment to miracles.
How do you get people to change that?
You kind of can't. You can't. Like, all right, fine. You know, I can model by example. I can, if they've hired me, I can, you know, that they've hired me to help them, but I can't, that's somebody who doesn't want to be helped. If you really got to be open, if you want to grow, and you've got to be available to be wrong, which we hate, but it's such an interesting thing. I remember when I really got that, like, we really love to be right. And so if you're a single mom with two kids, yeah, it's going to be challenging. And yes, you are going to have to push yourself and you might get tired, but, you to be right about our excuses is very important to us. And when we would rather be happy than right, that's when we open up a whole new world of possibility.
I'm just writing these down because I love these little nuggets of like available to be wrong, and that ego just wants to creep out and give us all reasons why we can't do something. Or
because our whole foundation of our reality is based on being right about that. So you're about to crumble it to the ground. That is talk about uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That one is a big one.
Right?
To step out and get uncomfortable. What is something that you're working on from a personal growth standpoint today? Like, what is challenging you?
Right now, my biggest challenge is physical. And because everything has taken off so it's the overnight success. It took, you know, 40 years kind of thing, but
yeah,
it's going so fast. I just came off a really grueling tour, which was so much fun. I mean, I love being on tour and meeting everybody and speaking, but physically, and, you know, after having written the book, which is very physically taxing because you can't move when you're writing, and then rebranding myself and building a new website, going on tour, blah, blah. So it's, I really feel like for me, getting some kind of physical balance and energy, just really having the energy to do all the incredible things I can do now because of the opportunities that I've have now that I've never had. And so just being very intentional with what is fun and, you know, meets my needs. And, I guess it's just sort of really clarity on what I want to create and keeping my energy and my physical body in shape at the same time.
Mm-hmm. What was it like writing? Like, how soon after did you write the second book after the first book?
A couple of years. I took a couple of years. I'm a really reluctant writer. It's call my agent. He'll tell you all about it. But for me, it's a really, I think writing is a very challenging thing for a lot of people, but for me, it's just such high drama. And so I tend to put it off until I only have a little bit of time left. And then I crank the whole thing out in like a month. So it's super stressful and not healthy, and I don't recommend it, but that's how I've written all of my books. So,
was it easier to write the second one than the first one because you'd already done it, or was it still kind of similar?
Oh my gosh. No, I put so much I was like, oh my God, yeah, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. Everybody loves it. La, la, la. This one has to be brilliant. And it has to be totally different because I was basically lying face down in my driveway in my robe weeping when I finally started writing it because I was like, I can't do it.
We're chaining you to the chair. You must write.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any like hand like written or longhand and then transcribe it, or was it just all straight up computer?
Yeah, I'm a big computer. I can type really quickly, and I also have really bad handwriting, so I honestly can't really read it, but it's much, much faster for me to type.
Yeah, massive kudos for writing a book, because that's definitely, yes, writing I feel like would be one of those That's why I did podcasting versus blogging to start with.
Very smart.
Like, people are like, why did you start a podcast? I'm like, well, because I'd much rather talk to someone than type an entire article up. So, well, like I said, I've read You Are a Badass. Can't wait to read the You Are a Badass, the one around money coming up next as well. Like, so super excited about that. A couple last questions before we land the plane. What is the best $100 investment you've ever made?
Best $100 investment. First thing that came to my mind was this little JBL flip speaker that I bought. It's a Bluetooth speaker and it just cranks and has great sound. And since I travel so much, having that kind of power, in such a tiny little package, I love that thing.
Awesome. What is the next, if you could wave a magic wand, that you would outsource about your life in general? Could be business, could be personal.
Writing.
How does that even work? Can people outsource that? How does that work? Is that ghostwriting?
I've been trying. It's not working for me, but people have ghostwriters.
Oh my gosh. And then if you could sum up your life in one word to be a movie title, what would it be?
Oh, boy. One word?
Okay, I'll give you a phrase.
No experience necessary.
No experience is not. Where does that stem from?
I've gotten every job I've ever gotten with no experience. I've sort of like, even being a life coach, even being a writer, like, just, I just did it because it felt like it would be fun. And yeah, I just sort of, I basically learn on the job a lot.
Experience is life's best, like, teacher.
Yeah, totally. So
that for sure is. Oh my gosh. Jen, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Can you share with us where my listeners can find out more information, buy your book, keep tabs on you to see what you're up to? Where can they find that?
They can go to my website, and you can get there by going to jensincero.com. And Sincero is spelled like the word sincere. So it's jensincero.com. Or you can also go to youareabadass.com and it will get you there as well.
Okay, I do have to ask this question now. Did you own youareabadass.com before, or did you, like, was that available when you went to go buy it?
Oh yeah. I mean, I own like 300.
That's amazing.
Well, they're $10. So it's like the second I get the second I got the idea for that book title, I bought it.
That is awesome. I feel like, I don't know why now, but like, I feel like I'm like, oh, I would imagine that would be a pretty popular URL, but that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that phrasing of it. I'm sure there's lots of other badass URLs that are taken by other people, but the specific "you are a badass" wasn't taken when I wrote the book.
That is awesome. Well, yeah. Jen, thank you so much. I will get any and all information over to you, via Nate when it goes live, but I seriously thank you so much. It has been amazing and like pinch me moment to be able to be chatting with you after reading your book. So, and it's been awesome. So thank you so much.
I
really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That was really, really fun.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.